It's time for our weekly political chat with the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
Hi, Amy. How you going?
Hi, good. Thank you. How are you going?
I'm really good. Sorry about that intro. We're going to get changed for you ASAP.
Okay.
But thank you so much for joining us and taking over our Jamie Lee spot.
Not a problem. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time, I'm sure. All right. So first up, I'm just talking about the leaks from Simon Bridges' spending and taxes. What has been the response from inside the National Party following these leaks?
Well, look, I mean, obviously it's concerning when information comes out when it shouldn't, and the Parliament has to have confidence in internal processes, and it is important that we get to the bottom of it. I'm actually very confident it's not a National MP, but until we go through a process, we won't know. But look, it's on one level a distraction. Parliament has to work well. We have to have confidence, as I say, in the process. But from Simon's perspective, from all of our perspectives, the bigger issue for us is getting on with the things that actually matter to New Zealand.
Absolutely. According to news recently, a forensic expert is coming in to dig into this. Are there any concerns that it could be someone within your party?
Well, there's always going to be speculation all the way around, but I actually don't think it is. I know the 55 other MPs in our caucus obviously very well. I trust every one of them. And we all know that none of these things are good for us. We stand and fall as a party together. And all of us in that caucus are focused on holding the government to account and providing a really strong and positive alternative vision for what New Zealand could be in the next election. And these sorts of sideshows don't help with that. So I don't see anyone in National wanting to do something that ultimately isn't in the interests of our party.
Yeah. Obviously, with the leak, the biggest concern was the travel expenses. Why are they so high?
Yeah, look, I'm not particularly concerned about that. I mean, the leader of the opposition has what's often described as the worst job in politics, and he has to get out and, you know, person by person just about, you know, talk to New Zealanders, hear from them, talk a little bit about what he sees as a vision for New Zealand, hear from them what they want in terms of a government from 2020 on. That's his job. I would be far more concerned if the leader of the opposition was staying in his office, not getting out and talking to people. I don't think the government is doing nearly enough listening to New Zealanders. I think they're far too much in the space of they know everything. In National, we believe that you've got to start by listening to New Zealanders, and that's not just in Auckland and Wellington. That's up and down from Kaitaia to Bluff. Mm. And that's my, you know, our leader doing his job.
Mm. I'm going to jump on to a more contentious issue, obviously a very sensitive subject, but the euthanasia bill, assisted dying bill. Obviously, Bill English came into Parliament to speak on this, and from what I understand, you held a forum in Selwyn to debate this kind of issue amongst ACT and National Party member. Who was it again?
Maggie Barry, yeah.
Maggie Barry, of course. What is your stance on this?
Yeah, so look, you're right, it's a very difficult and personal decision for everyone, and there's some very deeply held views right across the debate. I voted in favour of the legislation at first reading, and I did that because I think it's an issue that has real resonance with New Zealanders, and it needed to have a good select committee process and a real working through of all of the particular details. My view at the moment is I am still concerned about the operation of David Seymour's bill, the width of what it might capture, and the process to ensure that there isn't misuse made of it. But at the same time, I think working to try and find, to see if there is a way that those who are in full control of their faculties know the impact of what they're doing, are at the end of their life and want to choose their own time and place, I think it is worth working to see if we can achieve that. But we have to be incredibly careful that we don't, in the interests of helping people in that situation, end up having people having you know, their life taken away from them inappropriately.
Absolutely. I think the big debate there is making sure people are being looked after correctly, those who might not be in control of their faculties fully, but also someone's bodily autonomy, being able to choose what they do with their body at the end of the day.
That's right. Yeah. And as long as we're sure that, you know, it is actually their choice, it's not a pressure from family or a perceived pressure, or they're going through a period of you know, intense depression and they don't see a way through for them, or they don't feel like they're getting the palliative and medical support they need to manage pain. I mean, you wouldn't want any of those things to drive people to euthanasia. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if someone has access to excellent palliative and pain management, isn't receiving any pressure, knows what they're doing and wants to choose their own time and place, and as you say, have autonomy, that's something I would like to see us be able to respect. But it is just, you know, when you're making laws, you have to try and draw a line and deal with every particular situation, and that carries incredible risk. So I had said to David that I haven't yet decided what I would do going forward, but that's why the public forum that I had in Selwyn was really helpful, just getting a sense of all of those range of views from across my electorate, which I think is probably being played out right across New Zealand as people debate this.
Absolutely. Just from what your understanding of the bill, do they go into the bill so far? Does it go into how you look after someone seeking assisted suicide, basically assisted dying, I should say. Sorry. But also making sure they're mentally capable of making that decision. Is there something in the bill currently?
It does have a competence test in it, so it does have some requirements for the doctor to satisfy themselves that the person effectively knows what they're asking for. But also, I've seen some legal advice that says that competence test is not as high as we require for legal competence in other areas. So there are some competence requirements. One of the questions Parliament will have to consider is whether those competence checks are high enough, and whether, you know, the doctor who's certifying it will really be able to tell whether they're under any sort of family pressure or the like. And I think, you know, these are the sort of things we have to be so careful about. It's as I say, it's easy enough to discuss this in the broad terms. When you're trying to write a law and you're dealing with consequences as serious as people's lives, we have to be really, really careful that we're not going to have tragic losses as a result of a misuse of it, and that's what Parliament, I think, is being very cautious about.
Absolutely. You would hope.
So
going to jump onto the foreign buyer ban. So obviously you are the former Minister of Housing. What are your
social thoughts? Social housing.
Sorry about that. What are your thoughts on the bill so far?
Yeah, look, we're opposed to the bill strongly because, it came from Labour, but, you know, when they were in opposition, going around saying that the whole problem with housing affordability was all these foreigners buying all the properties. And actually, the data just doesn't back that up. The records show that most it's about 3% of sales, but when you net off foreign sellers of properties as well as foreign buyers, you're often looking at perhaps 2%. So it's not a big driver of values. The bigger problem in the housing market is supply. The reason house prices have gone up so quickly is that across New Zealand there weren't enough houses being built to meet demand. And if we want to deal with it, the focus has to be on ensuring that we are building enough houses to meet demand. And our concern is not only does this bill not actually deal with the problem, it actually seriously runs the risk of making it worse, because I've spoken to a number of developers, and the Select Committee heard evidence from a number of developers saying they rely on foreign capital, foreign money, to finance their developers. So these are New Zealand developers, but they need that foreign investment to help the developments go ahead. And a lot of those developments could now be at risk because they can't get funding. And if what we see as a consequence of this bill are fewer houses getting built, that will make housing affordability worse. There's no question that this bill has been rushed. I mean, the officials' reports on the bill say that they haven't had time to work through full analysis they would normally do. I think it's full of holes. I think it's poorly thought out. And as I say, I think not only will it not help housing affordability, I think there's a very real chance it could make it worse if we see fewer houses being built as a result.
Obviously, building more houses is a major part of government rhetoric at the minute. We have Kiwi Build happening.
Not really. Kiwi Build being talked about, and very few houses, like none so far, haven't been built.
Obviously that is a process that needs to happen. Do you not have faith that that is going to happen?
Well, the minister himself has now significantly talked down his numbers. So this was going to be 10,000 a year. I think now he's talking 8,000 or 9,000 over the first 3 years in government, possibly. But here's the point. Kiwi Build is not looking like being any additional houses. What it's looking like being is picking up some of these developments that now can't get their own funding and then going ahead with the big government subsidy. So whereas previously the market was going to be building these houses and getting on with it, and when we left office there was 100,000 houses about built over the next 3 years, with some of those developers now losing their funding, they're going to the government and asking for sweet, you know, sweet terms to build them as Kiwi Build houses. So it will see a few of them built, but fewer than the market would have done anyway. And actually with the taxpayer putting in a $2 billion subsidy. So very, very few houses. We would argue highly likely that there's no additional houses. And as I say, with a big government subsidy. Now that's a massive transfer of wealth to the few lucky people who get them. But there's $2 billion of taxpayers' money going in to build not very many houses and what looks like no additional houses across the market. I don't think that's the sort of solution that makes sense. You're right, there's a lot of rhetoric, but very little in actually adding to the net housing supply across New Zealand.
Just jumping back to the foreign buyer ban, how is it that accommodating for international buyers is helping the population in New Zealand? How does that help New Zealand residents?
I'm sorry, you'll have to explain what you mean. I'm not arguing in favour of the bill.
So National typically has been arguing that overseas buyers should have the opportunity to buy in New Zealand.
Okay. Yeah. So what we would say is that actually New Zealand does well when we are open and engaged with the rest of the world. New Zealand is a tiny little country at the bottom of the world. We make our living selling our products and our services to the rest of the world. We don't get rich just being internally focused and selling into our domestic economy. We only make our way in the world and pay for our jobs and incomes and standards of living by selling to the world. And to do that, we've got to be an economy that's open to the rest of the world. If we start putting up a sign saying foreigners not wanted here, then very quickly we get cut off from those markets that we sell into. We don't see foreign money coming in here. We don't see new businesses wanting to invest here. And New Zealanders lose out from that. So as I say, when you're only looking at 2 or 3% of the residential market being involved with sales offshore, you're far better to stay open to the world and make sure we're building enough houses to provide for that small number and everything New Zealanders need. If we put up a big close the business sign to the rest of the world, our tax revenue will go down, our number of jobs will go down, our opportunities and our wages go down. New Zealanders don't benefit from that in the long term.
That's all the time we have, Amy, but I am so looking forward to speaking with you next week.
That'd be great. Looking forward to it, Laura.
Have a good day. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
That was the National Party's Jamie Lee Ross.
The Wire.